We're talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. That's right. You are now talking with TD. I am your host, Teron Davenport. Appreciate you for tuning in, man. There's a lot to get into. You got minicamp underway. We got Run TMC with Chris Sanders. We got Parker Kelly. Parker, what's going on?
TD, what's going on? It's been a great week at minicamp, huh?
Yeah, it's been a good week, man. I like the fact that you got to see the offense have the upper hand one day and then the defense another day. Those are good things. I like the fact that you got Jeffrey Simmons, right? Public enemy number one. He's in the building. And I think when you look at some of the things that he said, just as far as admitting that it was a tough decision to miss voluntary workouts, he shouldn't have missed. Like, I understand it was a tough personal decision, but in my opinion, he shouldn't have missed. It's not good optically. That's something that I've said, that Jeffrey Simmons, like, he has to do a better job of making sure that the right message is sent to everyone. And it doesn't always happen the way you want it to, but I think being there would have sent the right message, obviously, to the team. I think the team got the right message anyway, and we'll get into that in a little bit, but I think it also sends a different message to your fans. And one thing that I'm starting to notice is you have fans who, you know, are cynical, and you have fans who, you know, look at things half full, and you have different agendas and setups from the media, and different sets of fans are going to gravitate towards the different ways that media and reporters do their job. And what's making me say this is the Jeffrey Simmons situation. Like, we know that, and Parker, we've talked about it, right? We know that there is he has some domestic issues, right? You know, the man has multiple children out of wedlock, and there was a situation with a special needs child that needed attention. And, you know, I told Jeff the same thing. Like, he was wrong for neglecting that attention, right? But he, from the conversation I had with him, he since resolved the issue. Money doesn't solve everything. But, I mean, that's essentially, you know, how the issue was resolved. But I think when you look at this big picture thing, what I've found, and the reason why I have a bit of an issue, is I feel like you should report and on a matter. And we talked about this as well, Parker. Like, it's just present what's on the table.
Right. There are a lot of people out there who wear two hats, right? You wear your fan hat and then your analyst hat. But when, you know, your job is to report on the team and cover the team, I mean, you take the facts as they come to you, right? And you report them, and you have to be able to remove the emotion, your attachment to the team. And if you don't have an attachment to the team, it makes it a little bit easier. But for someone who may have lived in Nashville their whole life, you know, there's an attachment to the Titans. But when you're covering the team, I mean, you gotta be able to remove that emotion, because with this whole Jeffrey Simmons thing, like, yeah, he has his issues going on off the field, but then you also have his play on the field, which are two separate things. But to criticize Jeffrey Simmons because you may not like him, that's coming from a fan's perspective, because that's how you feel, not what the facts are.
Yeah, and look, I'm not here to tell anybody how to do their job, right? And again, that is the beauty of a group, is you have different presentations. But it's just me personally, I'd rather just present the facts, put it out there, and not have emotion about this or that. I don't want it to be personal. Hey, if we're cool, then we're cool. That's fine. But we don't have to be cool, but just respect the work I do. And I think for me, my approach is to do it the way I would want somebody to cover me.
Yeah, and if you're, you know, saying something because you want somebody to like you, you're probably in the wrong business, right? Like, it's fine. Like, in the business we're in, we're going to say stuff all the time. People are not going to like it always. People are going to disagree with us. They're going to have their differing opinions. That's just the nature of the business. But I would want to report in a way that, yeah, okay, someone may not like it, but at least they respect the fact that I have evidence to back up what I'm
right.
saying.
And I think that's the key thing, is to have it presented objectively, evenly, where it doesn't look personal, right? And that's something – and that's the key. I say that's the key for me, right? That may not be the key for someone else, and that's fine. I respect everybody's work that, in this local media. So it's nothing there. I just know that there's different ways that things should be done. That I want to do things, rather, and it may be different from what somebody else wants to, right? And so I feel like, again, like there's certain factions of this fan base that's going to gravitate towards someone who covers the team that they want, the way they want it covered. But I just think it's critical to be objective and not have personal things. And it's just at times, and even, you know, I talked to Stillman about this. I think at times he tends to arrogantly comment on something that he's ignorant to, or ignorant, doesn't have information about. And the whole thing with PK and Terry McCormick, and then saying that because the local media didn't have the stones to ask the question, PK had to ask the question. And me personally, I'm a believer in being efficient with time, right? And efficiency is important to me. So I know asking that question, even me myself asking the question during a press conference, I know what the answer is going to be. Oh, I'm not going to speak on that. Right? But I know the value of, hey, come here, man. Let me talk to you. Yeah. And you get answers.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like if you ask Jeffrey Simmons about that, and you're somebody that, you know, doesn't actually know Jeff Simmons, it's like if I were to ask Jeff Simmons that question, of course I'm going to get, like, I'm not going to talk about that. But if you or someone like Kayla, who is close with Jeff Simmons, or at least has a prior relationship with the guy,
has trust, has
exactly,
the man's trust.
Exactly. Then he's more inclined to talk about it, maybe off the record a little bit more.
Yeah.
Than somebody who doesn't.
Yeah. So. But again, like I said, you know, I really feel that he was wrong in this situation. But I didn't, like, I'm not getting on the radio and saying that. I'm not getting on. You know, social media and saying that without having told him himself, right? And I think that's the important part. So, nevertheless, this is a man that missed OTAs, voluntary. Again, he should have been there. Like, to me, there's no excuse not to be there. He should have been there. He's here now. And one of the things that I think is really good, and when we talk about the team getting the message, the energy level in practice has gone up. In fact, that's something that Brian Callahan spoke on, and he said it actually uncovered a side of their quarterback that he wasn't necessarily in tune with all the way. And I think that's right. So here's what Brian Callahan had to say on Wednesday about the way practice has been and Cameron Ward.
I'll be honest, I'm not used to calling plays to a quarterback who's usually still talking while I'm talking to him. And that's great. And so I asked him after practice, and I said, I just help me out here. Do you need me to wait till you finish? And he goes, no, I'm listening. So he's hearing what I'm telling him, and it was a pretty remarkable to see all the things going on and how much he's talking, but like his brain is still, like, with me, I guess is the best way to put it. Like, when I'm calling a play, he's doing all he's doing, but he's listening to everything I'm telling him. And he enters right into the huddle and he calls a play and doesn't script a play call. And I thought that was actually kind of remarkable. I couldn't do that. So that's just kind of who he is. That's his personality. And again, if it was something that I felt like were detrimental to his ability to manage the offense and call it and huddle and all that, I probably have a couple things to say to him, but he didn't miss a beat.
Here's the thing. I think that's cool. It's exciting that he's talking back to, you know, Simmons or the defense or whoever. But Cam Ward can't continue to do that, right? Like, you got to focus on the play call. And being gifted enough to be talking and at the same time getting the play call, like, that's one thing. but let's focus on the main thing, right? Keep the main thing the main thing. And I get it. You know, you're coming in, you got swagger, you got energy, and you're exciting to the fan base, to the team, to the coaching staff, but keep the main thing the main thing. And to me, I don't think that he did that in that instance. He needed to focus on the play call because it's already difficult enough as it is when you're all the way focused on that. But when you're still talking, and that's not the best thing. But the other thing that is good about that, though, is he was able to shake off the smack talk and come back and make a big play. So Jeffrey Simmons, that's something he said that he actually really liked about the trash talk and the back and forth, his first exposure to Cameron Ward on the field. Here's Jeffrey Simmons on that.
Past weekend, I was like, you know, I'm going to be talking smack to you too. So, you know, it's fun. You know, I think at the end of the day, as you guys saw it and I saw it myself, that, you know, when you can have a guy with that much confidence as a rookie, I mean, I haven't spent that much time around Cam, and you know, we talked going back and forth, talking smack with each other, and you know, he was able to get back in the huddle and still throw the ball down the middle of the field. So I think that was the most impressive thing, not him talking smack to me, but I think being able to get back in the huddle, get the play to the guys, and still operate the offense, I think that was the most impressive thing.
So, again, being able to get back in the huddle, execute the play to the guys, or, you know, relay the play to the guys and execute it is the biggest thing. That's exactly what Simmons said, and he's right. So you got to keep track of the biggest thing. Look, it's minicamp. I know there's glowing endorsements coming out, but, folks, it's minicamp. Just stay grounded. Again, don't get too high. Don't get too low. Take it for what it is. Right now, there are some good things, but there's still a lot that has to be worked upon. You know, they went through third down period. They went through blitzes. Like that final, the two-minute part on Wednesday, the end of it, it was not good. Like Ward had a couple nice throws, but there were also some where it's like, okay, come on. You got to either get the ball out, you got to get out of dodge, because Jeffrey Simmons had a sack in that. They were not able to score, right? It was put the ball in the 35, I believe it was the 35, and drive in 1 minute and 25 seconds to score, and they weren't able to do it. The defense won. They won on that one. And then Levis came in, and he was able to bomb to Jaquan Jackson, right? And that got them in position to kick a field goal, but they weren't able to get into the end zone. So there's still a lot to be worked on, right? There's still – you're seeing a lot of receivers and the quarterbacks not being on the same page. Cam had one on Tuesday, right, where he thought that – I believe it was Bryce Oliver. He thought that Oliver was running a different route. Oliver ran a curl. He threw it outside – the numbers, and nobody was there, and then boom. And then you also have Ward is living. He's living very dangerously, right? You know, you're making these passes between the hashes, middle of the field, and focusing on that. And he's gotten some to be complete, but he also got picked off, right? And he didn't look Cody Barton off, right? And Cody Barton, you saw it, Parker. He swooped right in
right
and,
there.
And he picked it off. You know? You can't telegraph a pass.
Yeah, no, and I mean – we knew this, like, when he was coming out of Miami, we knew that he loved to throw, like, the seams. Like, that was one of his favorite things to throw. But especially being able to watch him at Titans OTAs and minicamp, like, he really loves throwing the ball in between the numbers. That's something that I've really noticed. And a lot of that is dangerous living. Like, there are a couple times, like, he threw that seam on Tuesday to Gunnar Helm. Beautiful ball. I mean, we were all standing right there, and our jaws were on the – we had to pick him up off the ground. Like, it was really impressive, but it was also a high-risk pass.
Yeah.
And that's just part of the Cam Ward experience.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's definitely a part of the Cam Ward experience, and you're going to get that. But, you know, I think you really have to make sure that you know when to take those risks and when not to. And that's what we're starting to see. So, look, there's a lot to make of Jeffrey Simmons not being there. I think and it's important that we find out from the coaching staff and some of the players, like, okay, how do you handle this? Like, are you turning the page on it, or is this something that you're going to harp on? And that's why, you know, if you remember last week, like, I asked Chris Sanders what he thinks. Like, is this something that you think people will bring up if in – January, Jeffrey Simmons doesn't have 10 sacks. Like, we're going to say, oh, well, he should have been at OTAs. And if it's a no, then it's like, why are you harping on it now, right? Allow it to be a part of the big picture, but not the big picture.
TD, I talk about this more so in college football. I talk about it on my podcast, but like NIL and transfer portal, like really big off-season talk right now since there are no actual games being played.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's harping on, you know, players in NIL and yada, 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 whatever you believe. But when it comes time for the regular season and you have Georgia versus Alabama and that and the crowd's at full throat, it's getting towards the fourth quarter, are you really thinking about how much that left tackle for Georgia is making in NIL? You're not. Same thing with the Titans. When they're in a game and it's midway through the regular season, they're on the road in Indianapolis, the game's super close. You thinking about Jeffrey Simmons and how he set out at OTAs? You're not. So yeah. take it what it is, right? Like, we both agree that he should have been there, but we're not going to be talking about this. You can't put the toothpaste back in the tube.
Right.
Let's not worry about it now.
Yeah, you can't go back and change it, right? It's clearly documented that it was a bad thing at the time. But, like, is this a scratch or is this a deep bullet wound? And I feel like a lot of people are making it out to be a deep bullet wound. And that's why I really want to get from the coaches and the players. Like, how much have you guys turned the page? Like, is this something that you're really, like, are you still thinking about this? I know the answer, but I want them to say what the answer is because I think that's important. But at the same time, right, going back to what we said, there's an energy at practice that's different. And that's not just emulating from Jeffrey Simmons, right, and Cameron Ward. It's emulating from Calvin Ridley. And I've said it a lot. You know, he practices like a lot is on the line. Like everything is on the line with each rep, right? And the cool thing about that is the Titans got some young receivers. And Chimere DK, obviously Xavier Restrepo, Alec Iomanner. They got some young receivers that they're looking to develop, right? And when you have a guy – and I talked to Iron Manor about this, right? When you have a guy like Calvin Ridley playing with the sense of urgency that he plays with, you can't help but on your own say, okay, well, if a vet that has multiple 1K seasons under his belt is doing, like me as a rookie, like I got to bust it on every rep. And then having that knowledge to pass off has been a really good thing for the young receivers, and it just seems like he's really taken to Alec Iomanner. And so I asked Iomanner about this, and here's what he had to say.
Yeah, I think the way he runs routes is his body language is always vertical, right?
Yeah.
And that's something that you have to intentionally practice every day. So every time I go back and watch the film after practice, I see that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I look at myself and I got to say, am I doing the same thing? And so every day, hopefully I can say, hey, Red's doing this. I'm right there with him doing the same thing. So, yeah, it's been great.
Yeah, and then last week I had said to you, like, you sell the nine on every single route you run. Is that what it is?
That's exactly why it is. Because, I mean, you probably heard it in, if you were watching our indie drills, he was saying something to me during the first part of it because, like, sometimes in the beginning of practice, I got to get that cue. So I'm like, oh,
gotcha.
Every time I got to keep it. So, yeah.
So there it is right there, a good example, right, of how it's rubbing off on a young receiver like Iomanner. And I think that's really critical for them to be able to continue to work on this. But, folks, I can't stress it enough. Don't get too excited. Don't get too excited because we're watching these guys. There's no pads on. It's not a game situation. I've seen too many players look really, really good in OTAs and minicamp, and then training camp comes and the pads go on and they're not the same person. But just conversely, I've seen people come alive when the pads go on too. So there's balance that is required. So I'm glad we got to talk about these things because I think it was important to go over those. And look, nobody's right or wrong. We all have our own individual ways of doing things. All I could do is explain to you my reasoning and why I think, to me, what I'm doing is right. And it's not to say what Jarrett Stillman or Paul Kaharsky or Terry McCormick or anyone else, what they're doing is wrong. There's different flavors. And you pick which ones you like and which ones you don't. And that's fine with me. So we're going to go ahead and go to a break. We're going to come right back with Run TMC and we'll make it happen.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
Run, You already know the music fades and those lights are dimmed. And now for your Seattle Supersonics, starting at power forward, out of Virginia, number 0, Odin Polynice.
And now, star for the Los Angeles Lakers, Bob McAdoo.
Bob McAdoo.
Is that the name McAdoo? You got to put some yeast on it. Bob McAdoo. That's putting yeast on it.
McAdoo.
What's going on with you, man? Hey, I got to give you your props, man. I was talking to somebody I went to church with, and, man, he came up to me. He said, man, I love y'all's show. He said, man, the content that we bring, he said, man, it's off the chain, man. So, hey, props to you, big dog.
Oh, I appreciate that. I thought that you had a joke coming in after that, so I was on the edge of my seat like, okay.
No, for real. No, just giving you props, man. That's what's up.
I was about to, you know, hit my sweet pea Pornell Whitaker on you, like dip and dodge it, and then cut back with a jab. I thought that's what I had to do.
I ain't gonna say I saw your stunt double, Sam Cassell. I wasn't gonna say that. I wasn't gonna say you like Gary Coleman. I wasn't gonna say that, man.
Wow. This old Larry Holmes looking dude. Go ahead, come on, get on the Cadillac and jump off the Cadillac and try to kick me.
Dude.
Larry Holmes style.
he almost lost his footing and had some cool points on.
He had them boots on. But anyhow, I wanted to go over something with you because I don't think a lot of people, and this is something that came up last week, especially when I was on the Power Hour with Stillman, and I don't think a lot of people understand how athletes draw confidence from their preparation, right? Because the big thing last week was, how can Cam Ward be confident if he never threw an NFL pass? And my answer was, as an athlete, or just as a person, period, when you feel that you're prepared and you're ready, you're going to be confident. Go ahead and tell me a little bit about that.
Man, I mean, you just said it. Is when you're prepared, then you're going to play fast as opposed to playing a step slow. And just like we're talking about Cam Ward, I watched him last week. He looked comfortable. He looked poised. He looked, you know, to par. He looked like NFL, you know, quarterback right now, and I'm going to tell you why. Because everybody's trying to, you know, downplay that, oh, he's just meeting at 5 o'clock in the morning with his receivers because he wants to show the coach he can play. No, he's been doing it in high school. He's been doing it in college, and that's where he is now. Because why? He's prepared. He's confident, not just in his ability. He's confident because he's prepared on what he's doing. When I say prepared, what does he do? He watches film. He corrects his mistakes. You know, he studies the playbook. So if you're doing all those things, then you're going to be confident. Why? Because you know exactly what's going on.
Yeah, and I think when you know what's going on and you can feel what's going on, I think that is a good thing because you're able to just play reactionary as opposed to like trying to, I don't know, it just flows. Like the game comes more naturally.
Yeah. And can I give you two examples? Number one, in 1999, we were playing Atlanta Falcons, and I shared this story with you. In the film room, we studied the rotation of the safeties. So we're talking and we're talking amongst each other. And Chris, and I'm sorry, and Stephen Ayers said this. He said, Chris, if the safety blitzes, I don't care what route is on, you run a slant and do a side adjust. So we're looking at that over and over and over and over in the film room. So now, we're in the game. We saw the same picture. What do you do? Me and Steve Mack look at each other like, okay, I know. I remember because I saw this on film. He runs a slant. He blitzes. I run a slant. I catch it for a touchdown. That's how you do it.
Yeah.
Then on the flip side, I was listening to Tom Brady. Tom Brady wasn't the greatest athlete. He didn't have the strongest arms, but he played because he was prepared. He said every time he played against the Kansas City Chiefs, he said he didn't care what defense they were in. He knew exactly what they were going to do. Why? Because he studied their film.
There's just something to preparation. And it's crazy because, you know, Stillman, he does a very good job of preparation. And so when I said this, I'm looking at him like, dude, why do you not even understand this? Because you get on the microphone and you say these things with confidence, and it comes from all the preparation. Like, I don't think there's a person in the world that listens to more podcasts and consumes more content than him. So it's like, you know exactly what goes into being prepared and being comfortable. Like, how can you not relate? I don't know. But nevertheless, go ahead.
Yeah. And then I'm going to give you another situation. When I was a rookie coming in, right, we were going against the Kansas City Chiefs, and they had a dog on the outside named Dale Carter.
One of my favorite corners.
Great corner. Smart, jam you, choke at the line of scrimmage. So here's what we did. Coach Les Steggles said, Chris, you can't dance at the line of scrimmage because he's waiting for your second move to jam at the line of scrimmage. So what I did is I knew he was going to do that, hit him up for two touchdowns. Because why? I knew he was one of the best cornerbacks in the league at that time, but I was prepared. Why? Because I sat with my coach, I studied film, studied the playbook, and I trusted the training of what my coach said.
Yeah, I mean, it's really that simple. And you talk about preparation and it leading to results as you made that sight adjustment statement. Now, on Wednesday, it wasn't a sight adjustment. It wasn't a sight adjustment. It was just one of those things where so they worked on third down period. And let me tell you something. Sure. Denard Wilson threw the sink at Cam Ward. I mean, I'm talking about times where he's sending the inside backers and dropping the outside backers into the passing lane. He's sending corner off the edge, safety. He saw a blitz from literally everywhere in Davidson County, right?
Yeah.
And now on the one time, they showed that double A gap blitz, right?
Yes.
And, of course, you know, when you're blitzing like that, you typically have man behind it. And
absolutely.
They had Ridley on the right, and I want to say it was Jaquan Jackson. And Cam just looked at him. You heard him. He said, can. And he turned to the left, gave the signal to, I think it was Io Manor, and then to the right gave it to Jackson and Ridley. And he checked it. They snapped the ball. They picked up the blitz. He threw. It was like at least 40 yards in the air. Ridley ran underneath it, you know, and it was a nice, beautiful completion. Ridley pulled away and scored what would have been a touchdown. That comes out of preparation.
It is. And the thing about it is when you prepare and you see things on film like that, it's going to move slower for you on the field. And when I say slower for you in your field is why? Because you've seen that look before. I'm going to give you a perfect example. I know I keep talking about myself, and I'm not doing it in a cocky way. I'm just kind of giving the listeners a visual picture of what I'm talking about. This is my rookie season, and this is the second game of the season. So, you know, I'm playing with Chris Chandler, and Chris Chandler sees it. It's cover zero, and they blitzing everybody. What did he do? He pointed at me. So what does that mean? Chris, I don't care what route it is, you run the fade. But the reason why you do that is because we were prepared. And the same thing with Cam Ward. He saw this before. He saw the blitz. He saw where they were coming. He saw the pressure. And the reason why he saw the pressure is because he saw it before in film. And that was the great thing they said, you know, about him coming out of the draft this year, is he understands where the pressure is coming from. So if you understand where the pressure is coming from, you can make the right decision. Why? Because you already saw that familiar play before.
Right, exactly. And then you got the return of Jeffrey Simmons. And I want to get into that with you. Sure. He's back on the field. He had what would have been a sack on Tuesday. He had another one on Wednesday. And he let Will Levis and the crew, like, he let them know. And he had one, what would have been one on Cam.
Right.
Do you think now that they're in minicamp, do you think that just kind of washes away everything that was talked about OTAs with him not being there voluntarily?
I mean, it is, but you still – this is just my take on it. First of all, I want to say Jeffrey Simmons is a phenomenal guy off the field. Now, so I want to make sure that I make this very clear that I'm talking about the football player. Mm. But when you say or you're designated as the leader, then sometimes you're going to have to sacrifice. I mean, there's going to be times where you're at the beach and you want to sit on the sand and this and that. But when you have OTAs and you have new guys come in and they need to hear your voice, this is my opinion. I think you need to be here. Even if you don't take any reps, just sit in the meeting room with the guys, sit on the sideline and say, you know what? Even though I'm not going to participate in any drills, I'm just letting you know I got your back. So I know, let me make myself clear again. I know it's voluntary. I know it is. But sometimes, you know, you just got to say, you know what? What's best for the team? When I was in 1999, you didn't have to ask Eddie George. You didn't have to ask Steve McNair. You didn't have to ask Javon Kearse. You didn't have to ask Samari Rowe. Because why? You know, we wanted to make sure that we're going to lead by example with Jeffrey Simmons. I'm not saying he's a bad guy. I'm not saying this. I want to make myself clear again. I just think that if I'm the pillar of this defense, then that pillar needs to be cement in the ground. And I just think that it speaks volumes when you're not there. That's just my opinion.
Here's my thing. It's different than it was back then. We have so many players. Right. You know, the thing that's so interesting to me is it feels like these things, and we were talking about this as a media group, it feels like these things are a bit blown out of proportion under Brian Callahan.
They are.
Because
Derrick
Henry was never at voluntary
work. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
You know what I mean?
Very good point.
And it was never an issue, right? And I know that for whatever reason, there's different sections of the local media that just don't like Jeffrey Simmons. And guess what? He doesn't like them. But at the same time, it's just like I wonder if this is a paradigm shift, to use the corporate term. Yeah. I wonder if this is that because it was fine and dandy under Vrabel with Derrick Henry.
But I think the difference is, and this is just me talking, that
they were winning.
They were winning, and his situation was never questioned. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It was never questioned. There was no question that Derrick Henry was working. There was no question that Derrick was a leader. There was no question that he's going to give it 100%. There was no question. And I think, this is me, I think sometimes the question is Jeffrey Simmons a leader? See what I'm saying? There's the difference. And I think that's why he's so scrutinized. And then, they designated him as the leader. They said he was a leader of the defense. So you're going to have to show it every single time, even when you don't like it.
Yeah.
And that's just the difference. And I think for me, even if he said, you know what, guys, I'm going to show up the first day and I just want to let y'all know I'm committed and then be up out of here. I just think that there's different ways you can do it. Or call all the defensive players on the field and say, listen, I won't be here. I got, other obligations I need to be at. But at least they're hearing your voice. That's kind of what I'm saying.
Well, here's the thing. What if he did call them? You know, that's the other.
I don't know that.
And you know what? That's a good point, because I'm going to start asking. I'm going to ask some of those guys if that was the case. But the big thing is, to me, he's there now, and you see him hustling and you see him making plays, and there's an energy. Brian Callahan and Denard Wilson, they both spoke about there's a different energy in this practice now. And in fact,
it is.
That has even rubbed off on the offense, according to Brian Callahan. I want to get your take on this, because he said that there's a lot of back and forth between between Cameron Ward and Simmons, and he likes it. And he said, in fact, and I said this in the opener, he said that, and we played it, he said there was actually a time where he was trying to call the play, and Cam, while he was calling the play, Cam was talking to Jeff, and Cam still had the nerve to know exactly what the play call was. So it's Callahan said, that is different. Like, there's a different energy and degree. I forget exactly the term, but he said it's different, and it's something that we may not have really had before. Now, when he says we're talking about mini camp, and you got the head coach already saying there's a different energy because of this player. Yeah. I think that is something to take note of. Now, I'm not saying he's going to go out there and be Jaden Daniels. Don't get it messed up. But I'm saying, if the coach is saying there's a different energy, that's something to harp on.
Yeah, because you have your leader on offense, you have your leader on defense that's pulling the best out of everybody. And that's what we want. I mean, and I think Jeffrey Simmons is a leader. But we all got to learn. I mean, and I think that sometimes it's kind of hard when you're pinpointed as the leader, so you're going to be scrutinized even more. So, he handled it in a good way. He said, I just did it for, my I thought it was best for me. And he has his right, because, again, quote, is voluntary. So he has a choice to be there or don't be there. Now, if he comes to camp, it comes to, mandatory camp, and he's not there, then you really start to need the red flags come up, but he's actually there. So, I don't know.
And he'll be there at camp. He'll be there at camp. And also, I will assure you this, he was working this offseason.
I'm
not saying.
Absolutely.
That joker, he lost 20 pounds. I watched him line up, hand in the dirt, from seven, outside the tackle. And I'm like, he actually looked like a DN. He said he's 301 pounds, So my whole thing, and I've said it before, I'll continue to say it, Jeffrey Simmons has to get sacks. It's great to affect the quarterback. You got to get sacks. You got to make those game changing plays.
Exactly. When he needs to dominate the game. When you played against Ray Lewis, you felt him on the field. And there was times where Ray Lewis took over the game. That's what happens. That's what needs to happen with Jeffrey Simmons. He needs to take over the game, throw people in the stands, sack the quarterback, tear face masks off, and all this talking will cease.
Tear face mask off. That's funny. So check this out, right? I'm watching a movie, right? And I said, I want to have a throwback. So I said, I'm gonna watch Menace to Society, right?
Oh my goodness.
And so I'm watching Menace to Society, and we got to the part where, Chauncey, Kane, he gave it to Chauncey. He pistol whipped him.
Yeah.
Right? And
oh my goodness.
I'm watching, and the person I'm watching with, they're like, hey, why they do the dude that you do the radio show with like that? I said, oh, no.
Oh,
that's not Chris Sanders that played Chauncey. That's Clifton Powell. You better check the internet so y'all see what he looks like and see that that's his twin.
Oh, man. Get off my phone, man.
This is Arden Key, and I'm talking with TD.
All right, back from the break, talking with TD. We're going to keep this Cam Ward conversation going. Confidence, obviously, is something that he has, and we discussed previously how it develops from the work and preparation that he put in. He said that, right? And he said, in addition to that, it's, the upbringing. He didn't have everything he wanted growing up, so he's confident now. His faith is also somewhere where he gets his confidence. So all of that is pretty cool. But I think one of the things that really stood out to me is the fact that he said that the interceptions, like, it's something you learn from now. He's a gunslinger. It's going to happen. And he said, I don't care if I throw four in a game, I'm going to be able to bounce back. And it's just the mindset that you want to have. And I think we need to understand that when he says he's a gunslinger, it's not necessarily saying that he's the best quarterback in the league. He's just talking about his style of play. This is what he brings. He's a guy that's going to take risks, take shots. And guess what? With those risks comes reward, but there also comes consequence as well. And the Titans, basically their hope is that the consequence doesn't happen as much as the reward. But I think when you look at Cam Ward and the areas where he has to get better, there are some different things that he has to do. I think he does have to understand when, hey, look, like, the journey's over, I need to go ahead and throw it away, live to see another play. And that's something that you saw him not do as much in the red zone on Thursday, where he scrambled to his right, he tried to throw back across his body. Well, nothing was there. Cody Barton picked it off, but everything was covered. Just throw the ball away. You're in the low red zone. Get another opportunity to take a shot at the end zone. In the worst scenario, kick a field goal. That's it.
Yeah, there are several times a day in practice where I even looked at you on one play, and I was like, I don't know if they were told to throw the ball no matter what during 7-on-7, because I know there were some practices where I was told just to throw it on 7-on-7. Yeah. Don't run it. But I was referring to the one play where Cam Ward was rolling to his left, threw back across his body to the picked off by Cody Barton. It turns out, because I saw Will Levis scramble during one of the plays on 7-on-7, that maybe they weren't told to just throw it no matter what.
Yeah, the left end zone.
Yeah. So that was certainly ill-advised. It's one of the cardinal rules of being a quarterback that you cannot do. So I think doing this and making those types of mistakes will help Cam Ward to realize that, hey, these defenders, they're bigger, they're faster, they're stronger in the NFL. I can't do that.
And that's the thing that he said that he has to realize. And not only bigger and stronger, they're also smarter, right? And so his first interception that he had, he didn't really look off. And Cody Barton just kind of followed his eyes to the ball, stepped in front of it, and it was an easy pick. And to his credit, he joked it off like, hey, man, I'm glad I threw it to Cody because he's on my team. That's 6 points for us. And the teams, that's the individual teams that they split it up in, as far as the 8 teams that they split up to compete with. But that's extremely the case. And he also admitted that, hey, maybe I can't get as much on the throws to the deep passes because these guys do react better. I thought it was cool. He mentioned some guys, right? Mike Brown, he mentioned. He mentioned Ali Gay as well, which, you know, it shows just being in tune with the roster.
Yeah, because those aren't two guys that automatically come to the forefront of your mind. And even when you're watching practice, you're not thinking about Ali Gay. You're not really thinking a whole lot about Mike Brown. They're there, but you're just more focused on the guys like Jeffrey Simmons, T'Vondre Sweat, the Cody Bartons of the world, Amani Hookers. Mm-hmm. So, no, Cam Ward, he certainly is very observant, and that's pretty clear when he's talking to the media because, I mean, he's just able to rattle off, and especially coming – to a new town, new city, new teammates, new coaching staff, being able to, you know, name off those players is pretty impressive.
Yeah. I think for him to get ready, though, he has to continue to take the day-by-day approach. I do like the way Brian Callahan has beat that into our minds, right, when we ask about, hey, what's it going to take for him to be the starter? But let's say this, right, what we're seeing right now is an effort to get him ready to be the starter. He may not start every period, whether it be 7-on-7, team, whatever, but you're noticing that he's getting significantly more reps than the other quarterbacks. A lot of times, if he does start the period, he'll go 4 or 5. Levis will come and go 3. He'll come back in and go 3. And then you got Brandon Allen and Tim Boyle, Doyle coming in.
Boyle
coming in. And that's kind of what you have going on. So, rest assured, the goal is for him to get to that point, and he's also working a lot with Calvin Ridley. So, and those, that first group, so to speak, the guys you know are going to be there. So that's definitely cool. I like the way he said, though, like for offseason, he's like, man, work out, stay in the playbook, and throw that rhymes with truck out of the ball. And then he also on the trash talk, and he said, you know, he likes to do it so he can let someone know, you know, not to F with him. I thought those are – Some good quotes, but right now it's training, it's minicamp, OTAs. Like, don't get overexcited. Yeah, he went, 20 or 21 or something like that. Like, hey, look, keeping stats during OTAs and minicamp to me is crazy.
I've never done it.
I don't keep stats in practice either or nothing like that because, like, okay, yeah, he could go 20 or 21, but, you know, how many of those were checked out? How many of those were quick, easy passes to Xavier Restrepo? I think looking at those big-time throws, like when he throttles it just over the linebacker's shoulder and Gunnar Helm catches it on the seam route, those are the ones. When he has anticipation on a deep outbreaking route to Elik Iyemanner, those are the ones, right? When he looks, sees the blitz coming, cans it, checks it to a post for Calvin Ridley, and they connect on the big touchdown, those are the ones, right? When he is rolling to his right and everything's covered and he throws across the body like he shouldn't and gets picked off, those, like, it's, there's every attempt has its own little story. So I think for me, what I do is try to explain that story within that rather than just a macro, hey, he was 20 or 21.
Yeah, and especially like during the 7-on-7, Cam Ward even said it, that 7-on-7 is not real football. And, like, you're not even factoring the plays that might even be sacks in a real game. Like, because, I mean, there's no linemen out there during 7-on-7. So, you know, taking, you know, things as they come with a grain of salt, and it's literally OTAs, it's mini camp, right? Like, no one is going to be a superstar yet because they haven't even played an NFL game as a collective unit yet.
Right.
And but nobody has absolutely bombshelled their career either. So, just taking things with a grain of salt and just – you know, keeping an eye out, being observant of what you're seeing.
Yeah, you just can't get too high, too low. And it's interesting because you see the reactions, you know, on both spectrums, sides of the spectrum, the high and the low. It's funny, you know, how things get magnified so much. But, look, I mean, this is what happens when you have a fan base that is just starved for a guy that has the swagger at the quarterback position. I mean, this is something you have. Tannehill, every once in a while, he gave it. Like, Tannehill, I remember, who was it? I think it was Josh Allen rushed him. And he went to hit him as soon as he made a throw. And Adam Humphries caught it. And as he made the throw, he said, "And one." And Roger Saffold was like,
That's what I'm talking about. So you've had moments with Tannehill before, but I think it's a different kind of swagger.
And he had the finger roll too in the end zone.
Yeah. So look, the main thing, he just has to continue to improve, right? And some of the areas for improvement, you know, he talked about the different things that he needs to do and just become more comfortable within the whole offense. He wants to be able to push the ball outside the numbers, which he's done before, and we saw it on occasion. But he just loves that middle of the field. That's one area where he wants to go ahead and attack.
And it's not like Cam Ward can't make the throws to the outside, because he can. Like, he's clearly capable of making any throw on the field. But, I mean, it's really, like, in between the hashes, in between the numbers, mm-hmm. he really likes to take chances. And that's part of the reason, because if he were taking chances, you know, throwing, like, a ball down the field outside of the numbers, you probably wouldn't hold your breath as long as compared to when it's in between the numbers and there's more bodies around the football. Because there's certainly been times where he's thrown a ball like he did to Gunnar Helm, where everyone held their breath, but then once Gunnar Helm made the catch, but if it were a fade to the outside and, you know, you're only giving your receiver a chance to make the throw, you're not really holding your breath as much.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. There are going to be throws. I mean, you look at one of his best throws in college, right? He scrambled to his left. It was against Florida, you know, and he's scrambling to his left, and you're like, okay, step out of bounds or just throw it away. And he made a throw, and you're like, hey, he's throwing it away. But next thing you know, Jacoby George comes swooping in, and he catches it in the corner of the end zone. You're like, wow, that was a heck of a play. So I believe it was George on that.
It was.
Yeah,
yep.
Okay. Yeah, number three. But that's the reward of a gunslinger. But then you do have, you know, there have been times, both game with Virginia Tech, I want to say, where he was scrambling to his right and he threw it back across his body and almost got picked off. It was in the third quarter, I want to say. But those are things you can't have.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Like, he is a gunslinger, and he talked about it. I'd rather him be true to something that he is than try to be something he's not. So, but there's – at least in college, it was this way. The reward was far exceeded the bad plays, because there were significantly more good plays from Cam Ward than there were bad.
Mm-hmm.
And if that is able to translate to the NFL, I think Titans fans and NFL fans in general will be pretty happy.
Yeah. So there's a lot to be excited about, right? But there's a lot more that has to happen for that excitement to be a true realization. So only thing I could tell folks is just continue to, you know, just ride the course. And I know you want that quarterback. I mean, heck, for business, I want that quarterback too, you know. So we'll see what happens. I'm excited to get back here for training camp. We got a little bit of a break between now and then. We'll still do the show. We'll for the most part. I'm not sure if you're going away. I'll be away one of these weeks. So we'll at least have 1 week where – either you're doing the show alone or it's not happening. But nevertheless, I definitely appreciate what we've been able to do. And Chris Sanders coming on Run TMC has been great. And we'll just go ahead and keep this thing rocking, man. Appreciate each of you tuning in. Check us out on Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes, anywhere you get your fine listening materials. So it's Talking With TD. Subscribe, rate, review. Thank you.